Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
BS presents this program in color.
Ooh, Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound. Here I come to save the day. That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Mighty Mouse there for you. Remember him? Oh, yeah. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We get the situation well in hand, just like Mighty Mouse. I am Paul Molloy. I have a cape. I can't fly like Mighty Mouse, but along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, who certainly cannot fly, doesn't even jump, we thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, June the 16th. By the way, we are going to be talking in a few minutes with John Berlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He does not wear a cape, but he is a very knowledgeable fellow. We're going to talk about government digital currency. Haven't heard much about it, have you? Well, it's being discussed these days with all these stimulus payments. A quicker way of getting money into your greedy little hands, possibly. But is it a good idea? Well, we're going to discuss all of this with John, so stay tuned. And the Supreme Court surprises a lot of people with its ruling on LGBTQ rights in the workplace. So we're going to talk about its effects with business owner and barber pole founder Andrew Ceraci. Stay tuned for that. And we have a great ultimate top 10. You know, we talked about the happiest countries in the world yesterday. Now, today, the top 10 U.S. cities that are the best places to be for romance. Ed, are you listening? Ed's looking for a girlfriend. Top 10 best U.S. cities for romance. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It's the best place to go in Tampa Bay for a haircut, guys. But you got to call for an appointment, 733-3773. That's 727 area code, 733-3773. Okay, wow, we got a lot going today. And the Supreme Court, in the eyes of many people, came out with a stunner in a 6-3 decision. They've ruled that a landmark civil rights law that protects gay, lesbian, and transgender people from discrimination in the workplace is legal, is correct. So this is a resounding victory for the people that believe in gay rights, basically. 6-3 vote, that means you got conservatives, led by Neil Gorsuch, that voted for it. Now, basically, it says that a key provision of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, known as Title VII, that Civil Rights Act barred job discrimination at that time because of your race. But they say it also encompasses your sexual behavior, which to me is a little bit interesting because it's basically differentiating sexual behavior as something that can be protected, as opposed to the color of your skin or what church you go to. Here's what Neil Gorsuch said. Quote, an employer who fires an individual for being homosexual or transgender fires that person for traits or actions it would have not questioned in members of a different sex. He says sex plays a necessary and undisguisable role in the decision. The two that dissented were both conservatives. They are Sam Alito and I should say the three that descended, Sam Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, and Clarence Thomas. Here's what Brett Kavanaugh had to say. The court tries to convince readers that it's merely enforcing the terms of the statute, but that is preposterous. Even as understood today, the concept of discrimination because of sex is different from discrimination because of sexual orientation or gender identity. And by the way, that was Sam Alito, not Brett Kavanaugh, who wrote that piece. So what they're talking about here is that in a 6-3 vote, behavior, sexual behavior, is now considered something that is off limits to a business owner when seeking to hire you. If he knows that you are, as an example, a transsexual or a person, I can't think of it, anyway, people that dress in clothing of another gender but are indeed a different gender, transvestite, I guess is the best term, that cannot influence their decision on whether or not to hire you. Well, first of all, it will always influence their decision on whether or not they will hire you. And it is a freedom of speech issue there. So what we are having with behavior, and I've said this before on the show, is that when you try to codify, C-O-D-I-F-Y, codify behavior, you run up against freedom of speech. So for instance, if I own a bar and somebody comes walking in dressed as a woman but is really a man who wants me to hire them and they're going to continue to dress as a woman, I don't necessarily have to, at least here in Florida, I don't have to even give them a reason. But it might be because he dresses as a woman and is a man that I don't want to hire him. Perhaps because I think he will scare away business. Now, do I not have that right if I own the business? I think so. I don't think some policeman can come walking in and telling me, I'm sorry, sir, I'm going to have to arrest you. We understand you did not hire this gentleman who dresses as a lady. And we feel it's because this gentleman dresses as a lady that you did not hire him. Now, I can always say no. I did not hire him because he smelled bad. I mean, I don't think he takes a bath regularly or something like that. But you see the slippery slope that we go down with things like that. So we'll see where all of that goes. Very, very interesting. Let us take our break. I can't wait because this is an interesting topic, this government digital currency. Most of us have not heard about that. But John Berlow has, so we'll talk to him right after the break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday morning. Delighted to have our old buddy John Berlow join us. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. By the way, John has a book coming out at the end of the month. And I think this is a very interesting topic about the little-known entrepreneurship of George Washington. You know, we know George Washington. Boy, he was a surveyor. He was a landowner. He was a busy guy. So I think that book would be very interesting, John. Congratulations.
It's called George Washington Entrepreneur. It's available on Amazon and other book sites for pre-order right now, coming out June 30th. And I'd love, it talks about how this country was rooted in capitalism, and I'd love to come back on and talk about it.
I will do that, too. We'll do that. Absolutely. You know, George Washington does not get the credit, I don't think, that he deserves. Gosh, he did so much. He helped win the Revolutionary War. He was our first president. He was out there surveying land. Right. I mean, he was a man. He was multi-talented, wasn't he?
Opened a whiskey distillery, a flour mill, trademarked his flour. I just love to, so much good information in the books. I've learned from so many people.
Well, we will definitely have you back on that. And right now we want to talk about something I don't think most of us know much about. I know I don't. Government digital currency. First of all, try to, if you would, John, define that. And then tell us why it might pose a risk, if you would.
Well, it's very good to define that, because in some ways, I mean, people are asking, well, isn't currency already digital in the sense that there is, you know, PayPal and other things where, you know, you can send the dollar from your phone, and that's true. But what most proposals for digital dollars mean, like from the House Democrats did, and even some people, you know, who, you know, are doing this out of a legitimate concern, like, you know, as far as competing with China, which is trying to start their own digital currency, is where there are bank accounts set in the deposit accounts set up with the Fed, bypassing bypassing banks and credit unions, or a government-run blockchain. And I write in my latest paper at CEI.org that those pose a lot of problems, from privacy to currency and manipulation to conflict of interest with banks and others that have the Fed as their regulator.
Okay. Now, a lot of us were waiting for a while for our stimulus checks. And is this one of the reasons this thing has now come up? Because people are thinking about quicker ways of getting taxpayer money into the hands of other
both
people?
Both moving cash, then the settlement problem where sometimes money can be sent by check but doesn't appear in your bank account for a few days, and other things like, you know, just the handling of cash have generated or more interest. But this will not really solve that problem. In fact, with it related to this, there's the Fed has entered now digital currencies in the proposal stages, but the Fed has already announced it's entering the real-time payments area with what's called FedNow. And what that's done, they said the FedNow system won't be completed if they still do it until 2024. Banks and credit unions were already, you know, doing this system through what was called the clearinghouse. It was supposed to be ready by 2020. But what happened is all the banks, with Fed as their regulator, they don't want to say no outright to the Fed for their system, so they're delaying the system for real-time payments. So it's just made the system slower by the Fed entering into it. That's why there was a law in 1980 signed by President Carter saying the Fed can't do what the private sector is already providing, and the private sector is providing a lot of this through apps, through cryptocurrency, other things.
We're talking with John Berlow, a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he has penned a piece on their great website Government-run payment systems are unsafe at any speed. Now, is this also a violation of the Constitution, John?
I'm not a constitutional scholar. I'm not sure about that. It's going into some unprecedented areas, so I imagine it is, and I imagine, you can coin money or other things. So I don't know. Yeah, creating it on a digital, there may be some constitutional issues there, but it certainly is a violation, I argue, of the Monetary Control Act of 1980, which said that the Fed can't enter into payment services and technologies if there already are some viable in the private sector. I mean, the Fed, wants to ape cryptocurrency, but it couldn't mimic the technologies, but it would just having the Fed in there would crowd out innovation and cause a conflict of interest, the Fed would be regulating, things that it's actually competing with, plus the fact of, your bank accounts, if your deposit accounts with your Fed, they could see every transaction and share that with law enforcement. And we're supposed to be worried. I mean, there's legitimate worry about police abuse. Now you're just creating another avenue for law enforcement abuse. Not that, there are many good law enforcement officers there,
yes,
but we shouldn't give the government another avenue like that when we're talking about it.
Yeah. It seems like the government's tentacles, I guess this is just a natural evolution of the human condition. You start out with a government that you intend to make compact and do as few things as possible and remand everything else to the states or to the people themselves. And yet, it's just by its own existence and material wants to expand. And it seems to me that this is one of the many examples of the expansion of government to the detriment of the people. Your thought on that?
It really is, and this is clearly unneeded. I mean, the Fed has done a lot of things since the virus, and sometimes, people who have been otherwise critical of the Fed, were like, we need a stimulus, and this is something only the Fed can do. But these areas, both payments and digital currencies, are clearly not something only the Fed can do, and the private sector can do it and has been doing it. So this is just a clear area where the Fed should stay out and not use, the new power it's gotten to sort of usurp this market and drive other innovative players. Innovation began with George Washington, as we're talking about.
Yes.
We don't need the government to stamp it out.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just thinking again, all the innovation comes from the private sector, and the government can adopt what the private sector has, but not control it, right? We don't want the...
Right.
I mean,
yes.
that to me is the thing, that if you have the government now dipping its toes into this industry, by its very nature, it will then want to regulate the others and corral them.
That's the inherent
okay.
conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And we're already seeing this in payments when banks that have the Fed as their regulator don't want to, shop at a Fed's competitor, so it's just delaying faster payments in general. May delay it for years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you think things are going as businesses are opening up again? And we seem to be at least, I don't know if we're solving the issue of the virus, but we're at least dealing with it, right? We're out and about, and we're kind of like it's the enemy in our midst, but we sort of going on with our lives. Do you think that businesses and the country are going forward now, or are we going to be for a long time? Are we going to be stifled because of this? I guess what I'm asking is, how quickly do you think we're going to get back into an up and running mentality?
Well, Paul, I went to, I can speak around me. I went to the inside of a restaurant for the first time in more than 3 months, and
really?
I ate there. But I had my mask on, and the servers all had masks. So there are some things like washing your hands more often that I hope never change. But I think businesses. I mean, I think this is. We're hearing about spikes, and a lot of that. I mean, I'm not a statistical expert, but a lot of it is just because things people are getting tested more. But I think people, you know, there has always been risk. My colleague Ian Murray wrote about this at CEI.org, and it's how you manage risk, and you can't, you know, there's a chance you'll get hit by, you know, crossing the street and, you know, an oncoming car. So, you know, people are realizing, you know, and I think even some of our policymakers are realizing you have to get out, you know, and live your life, because what point of life if it's not living, if it's not being with friends or other things? Take
right.
precautions, but live, and you have to, I mean, in a way, sort of, you have a right to your livelihood. So, so this is, you know, and that's a part of life.
Yeah.
So we're
dipping our toes into the water. We know that we could get one of those, whatever you call them, to pull you in. But we've decided, you know what, I'm kind of aware of that, but I want to have some fun, or in this case, live my life anyway. So I look at the stock market. I think this morning, I may not be exactly right, but I think it's up again. It's been like kind of like a yo-yo. It's up. Okay, Ed tells me it is up. So it seems like we're trying. Do you think that we're going to be taking two steps forward, one step back for a while? I guess, you know, as we move towards November, anything positive, of course, is going to work for the current administration. But just in general, do you think we are moving? Is progress? Are we moving forward, I guess?
I think so. More people are being tested. We're finding out more about the disease. As long as we have a whole campaign at CEI, you can find it on CEI.org, called Never Needed. That's a hashtag on Twitter where people are looking at, you know, do you need this regulation? It's everything from, you know, businesses being able to deliver drinks and, you know, I use styrofoam containers to, you know, lifting the regulations on that, which we say should be permanent. And other things like the FDA. If the FDA is, you know, lifting barriers to drugs and vaccines and other things, and I think, you know, we could be making significant progress on this. So yeah, I mean, it just depends. Unless there's, you know, some really bad policy, which is always a possibility, I think we will move forward.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Especially coming from you, because you seem to know what you're talking about all the time, John. And again, you got a book coming out about George Washington. What is the title?
George Washington Entrepreneur.
I like it. I can't
Available
wait for it.
Available for pre-order on your favorite book sites now, out June 30th.
George?
And I'd love to come on the show, back on the show and talk about
we
it.
We will. George Washington Entrepreneur. Boy, oh boy, I'd love to do it. We will. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, Paul, for having me on.
Our pleasure. John Berlow, all right, going to take our break. When we come back, the Supreme Court surprises a lot of people with its ruling on gay rights, LGBTQ rights in the workplace. Let's talk about that with a business owner and the founder and proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Sorese.
Open up on the woman, daughter, hug it. So baby, can't you see that you were meant for me? I want your loving, yes, sirree.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi,
I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAM Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM, to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. Thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Wars. By the way, you know, the Supreme Court, as we talked about a little bit earlier, made that decision on LGBTQ rights when it comes to the workplace. But they were also admonished for not dealing on some Second Amendment gun rights issues. Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh yesterday admonished their colleagues for letting Second Amendment cases languish in the courts, in the lower courts. And the last major Supreme Court case to decide gun rights was quite a few years ago, more than 10 years ago, and it was McDonald versus Chicago and D.C. versus Heller, both of which, as we said, came out more than 10 years ago. Kavanaugh and Thomas, in the case of an ATM service worker, he takes care of these ATM machines in high crime areas. He wants to tote a gun. But New Jersey, the state of New Jersey said, you can't tote a gun when you're doing your work on an ATM machine. Not good enough reason. So they went to court. And I should say they have not gone to the Supreme Court. But it's a very interesting situation. So we got our buddy, Andrew the Master Barber. And Andrew, we were talking a little bit about the Supreme Court's decision on LGBTQ rights in the world. Oh, he's not on. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought we got a thumbs up on you on that. Sorry about that, Ed. Okay, we're trying to find Andrew. He probably is cutting somebody's hair right now. Are they answering at all at the barbershop? Well, I guess he's trying to get them at the barbershop right now. So, well, anyway, so we're talking a little bit about the Second Amendment. And this guy in that works in high crime areas in New Jersey fixing ATM machines. The state has said your work in a high crime area, not a good enough reason for you to get a permit to carry a handgun. And so Thomas and Kavanaugh say the court would almost certainly review the constitutionality of a law requiring citizens to establish a justifiable need before exercising their free speech rights. And it seems highly unlikely the court would allow a state to enforce a law, as an example, to provide requiring a woman to provide a justifiable need before seeking an abortion. Why can't it look at the case of a guy fixing an ATM machine in the same light? And it would make sense to me. We have got Andrew, the Master Barber. And Andrew, did you hear about the Supreme Court case regarding LGBTQ rights? And I'm asking this to you as a business owner. And we talked a little bit earlier about, and this is my opinion, but we're now dipping into behavior of people. If I own a bar, for an example, and a transvestite comes up, says he wants to work for me, and I think, you know what? With my business, I don't think a transvestite bartender is going to help me. So I turn him down. I don't want the government to come in and tell me, you're going to jail if you don't hire the guy. What do you think?
I agree with you. I mean, you know, like with me, I have certain specifications. When someone works in my place, you're going to dress a certain way. You're going to look a certain way. Because this is the image I'm trying to portray in my barbershop.
Right.
We're all professionals. You all dress properly. Somebody comes in and they wear shorts, I send them home. No, we don't wear shorts in here.
Exactly.
So you're going to sit there and tell me, oh, no, you can't tell him he's going to dress baloney. It's my business.
And I think this is exactly the point. I think we go down the slippery slope. If you start with somebody's behavior sexually, I think it morphs into somebody's behavior like you just mentioned. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. I don't care what the guy that owns the place says. I have my rights, and I feel like dressing in a clown suit. So I'm going to go in there and cut hair looking like Bozo, and he's not going to be able to do anything.
Well, you know what? They can come in and sit there. They ain't going to make nothing. Because in my business, it's strictly commission, and I'll see to it that nobody sits in their chair.
Yes.
Besides that, my customers wouldn't sit there anyway. So if they want to sit around 9 hours a day for nothing, that's their business.
So, again, this is like, to me, a behavior issue. And why is the Supreme Court deciding behavior? I mean, okay, I can understand when you're talking about race. You can make a good case for it. You can make a good case for it. But when it comes to behavior, I think it's Katie bar the door.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Okay.
Totally, totally ridiculous. Yeah, I'm so mad that I missed the show yesterday. I had a doctor's appointment and didn't realize it, that it was on. And I wanted to hear the interview with Amanda Mackey.
Oh, Amanda. Well, we had a very good interview. She is a delightful woman, in my opinion. And we talked about her race in that district, which is, by the way, currently run, owned, supervised, whatever the word is, by your buddy Charlie Crist.
Yeah.
And here was one of the things I did ask her was about that. There was that protest, a pro-police protest in Tampa, in Tampa over the weekend. And I mentioned it to her. I wanted to see if she had had an opportunity to attend it. And, of course, it's not her district in Tampa. And she made a point of saying, well, this is not really in my district. But I still want, because she does come off as being pro Second Amendment. Well, I mean, pro police. You know, at least she's. We did talk about, we talked about socialism. Because that's a big discussion point for her. That is what I think she's really pushing. And we did talk a little bit about her chances of winning the primary. And I mentioned the fact that a lot of us have seen her on television. And I think, quite frankly, I think the commercial that she is running is good. I think she comes off very well in that, and I think it's going to help her. And she's got, you know, she's got the backing, as you know, Andrew, of quite a few bigwigs in the...
Yeah, that's the one that makes me nervous is Murkowski.
Yeah,
she has 7 years under her belt with Lisa Murkowski. Makes me nervous.
Now, tell me about that. You're saying that Amanda Mackey and Lisa Murkowski are buddies, or what?
Well, they worked. She worked under Linda Murkowski.
Lisa Murkowski. Okay.
Yeah, she was one of her advisors, I guess, for 7 years.
So, do you think that because I know you don't, you feel that Lisa Murkowski is not conservative enough, and I tend to think you're right because she does pose a little bit of a threat to Trump once in a while, but. Do you think that's going to rub off on Amanda Mackey? Is that why you're not so high on Amanda Mackey?
I think you're going to see a lot of the Trump people. You know, I want to beat Charlie Crist. Doesn't matter who it is. I don't care if the Pope will beat him. He'd be the one I would endorse. But
well, he's Italian, so I know you would endorse the Pope.
Anyway,
he's Argentinian. Well, I apologize.
No, this one isn't. He's Argentinian.
You're right. They're usually Italian. My mistake. Go ahead.
But yeah, she had worked under Linda Murkowski. I also like Anna Paulina. She's very strong. I mean, the person I really think would do a great job, I don't think he's got a chance, but he'd do a great job, would be George Buck.
Yes,
Anna. You know? And Sheila Griffin, believe it or not, she's a black woman, and she's running in that district, too, and I've talked with her a few times at the Trump Club meetings, and she's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I want to give a shout-out to you, by the way. If it wasn't for Andrew, we probably wouldn't have been talking to Amanda Mackey. He's so good about, I mean, we could have eventually, but he's so good about, he's got more contacts. I tell you what, you got more contacts than the president. I'm beginning to think that.
That's why
I bet you have a contact with the Pope, speaking about the Pope. You probably could get an audience with the Pope. That's what I think. Go ahead.
I don't know if I would want one right now.
Well, maybe not.
But it's beside the point. But, you know, yeah. I want to get all these people on there so we can hear where they're coming from and let the people hear, because yeah. a lot of people don't hear. All they hear is negative about everybody. And I even told the Republicans, look, you people are fighting among yourselves, which is no good.
Yes.
I said, you got to start putting each other down and, you know, may the best person win, to beat Charlie Crist here.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that makes sense to you or not.
No, it does. It does.
You know, they need to clamp down and beat Charlie Crist, but...
I have not...
Well, hey, did you see
go ahead.
How many people put in for tickets for Trump's rally Saturday night?
I find this hard to believe, but I understand it was over a million. Am I right?
That's right.
Isn't that unbelievable?
You know, people got to realize.
That should tell you something about the mood of the country in general and the silent majority. Go ahead.
You know, Paul, people have got to realize. I think the black population in the country is 13%, right?
Yes, it is, around 13%.
Okay, and then you got the other 7%, your LGBTs, your gays, and whatever else they are, communists.
Well, now you're talking race in one thing, now you're talking behavior. Those are two.
I'm talking about, like, say, these people in Seattle. What would you say they are?
Are you talking about the protesters?
Yeah, what would you consider them?
Well, racially, I would say most of the protesters are black. That's what I would say, from what I can see.
Okay.
But as far as their behavior, you know, LGBTQ, how do we know? We don't.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is you got all your protesters or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of protesters.
But if you take all these people together, you're talking 20% of the population, the American population.
Oh, I see what you're going.
And I would bet out of the black population, it's not even 1% of the black population causing these problems.
Oh, absolutely right. No, 99% of them are sitting at home watching it, but not involved in it.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And here we are in a country like ours, letting this small amount of people disrupt everything that's going on.
But, Andrew, have you never heard?
Because squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah, and an empty tin can makes the most noise.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that one works even better, but yes.
Now, did you not? I'm going to make a prediction for you.
Okay.
Now, at this Trump rally, he's making sure they're all going to have masks on. Okay?
Yes.
Now, I can guarantee you these masks are going to say Trump 2020 on them.
Yes.
Now, once these hit the streets, you're going to see so many people walking around with Trump 2020 masks on.
That will be interesting.
They're going to tell us we don't need masks no more.
I see where you're going. Yeah.
Mark my words.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
The New York Times and the Washington Post will go, you know what? Those masks aren't helping anybody. Let's take them off now.
That's right.
Especially those red ones with the white lettering.
Just like the numbers. The protests are okay, and everything is okay. The minute Trump says he's going to have a rally, oh, my God, how can he do that? It's just a bunch of baloney, and the people are definitely over it.
Now,
definitely.
When they talk about Trump's rally, the media is all kind of worried about people getting COVID-19, but when it comes to all of the demonstrations and those people clumped together like sardines in the middle of the street, they don't talk about it then, do they?
No. And you know what? I don't blame Trump for not doing a thing over in Seattle, because if he does something, they're going to say, look, he's running a police state. The fact of the matter is these people that are doing this are all basement dwellers. They're not survivors.
Mm-hmm.
So that six city blocks pretty soon are going to be nothing but a cesspool. There's no food coming in.
I want to talk. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. But
not for nothing. The poor business owners that were trying to make money during this COVID-19, they threatened them with shutting off the power and the water.
Yes.
How come they're not doing that over there with that?
It's crazy. I want to talk to you about President Trump expecting to sign today an executive order on law enforcement reform. Now, we're getting into these executive orders, and quite frankly, the legality of a president overstepping a governor. And I've talked about this before with you. I don't know that you can do that. I think a governor, quite frankly, when he rules on behalf of a state, has more authority than the president, who's at a federal level. But what do you think about an executive order on law enforcement reform? I mean, what are they going to do?
What is the reform you're going to have?
Well, is Donald Trump falling into the same trap all of a sudden? Why is he? What is he going to do? a state may be able to tell, you know, or a municipality, in fact, should have more authority over this.
It's like I said, I wouldn't do nothing over there, and this thing's all going to fall apart, and let the people vote these people out come November. We're talking how many months here?
Five.
5 months, okay? In 5 months, you vote these people out. I mean, they're talking California going red, buddy.
They're
talking California going red. Yeah. I've got news for you. People are fed up, Paul.
I think so, too. I'm beginning to think there's a tsunami coming, and it's going to be conservative when it comes to, or Republican, I should say, when it comes to November. You know, the combination of things. For instance, I thought when all the Democrats raised their hands on that stage when they were running for the presidency, saying that they would fund fund health care for illegal immigrants. I thought that did them in right there.
Well, do you know now there are more people being escorted out of the country than illegals coming in at this point now?
Wow.
Okay. They say the Mexicans are upset. They're all going pro-Democrat because they want Trump out of there so he can come across again.
Yeah. So is he going to lose the Hispanic vote big time?
Not the Hispanic vote, no. Maybe the Mexican vote.
The Mexican vote?
But, you know, how many of them are legal? And the ones that are here, they all work. I don't even underestimate them as voting for Trump.
Yeah. What percentage of black people do you think will vote for Trump? I know this is...
According to what I'm reading, and I've been reading a lot on this, Paul, they're talking 38% of the blacks.
That would be an unbelievable number, Andrew.
Okay, this is what I'm hearing. It's all over the computer. They're talking Trump has got 38% of the black vote going on. It only takes 15% of the black vote to take what's got to be taken.
If he wins 38% of the black vote, I mean, it's going to be a swamping by the Republicans.
Oh, it's like I told you. Only 1%, or less than 0.1% of the blacks are causing this trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all of them.
No, that's right. No, I agree.
The majority of them work and a lot of work.
Well, the inner city solutions, and we've talked about this too, we got to get to the reason that people are so helpless and are doing things and destroying property and the like.
They're helpless, Paul, because they made themselves.
Well, it's not just that. It's just
a lot of them.
I think sometimes when you hand out things for free, and you don't give them an opportunity to go to better schools. I say give them an opportunity. If you don't have the money, you know, but with a voucher, you can go to a school of your choice. I think these are the things. And I think eventually, I hope, I'm optimistic, we're going to turn towards those things. And we're going to help people that are in this cycle of despair and poverty by doing just
that. And you know, Paul, all the immigrants that came over, no matter what nationality, when they first got here, they were prejudiced upon.
That's
okay,
right.
They went through the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, they couldn't get jobs. They couldn't do nothing. It didn't matter. The Irish came in, it happened to them. The Italians came in, it happened to them. The blacks came in, it happened to them. The Puerto Ricans came in, same thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do. And it was because of their, quite frankly, because of their independence and coming to a country where freedom reigned, they knew if they worked hard, they'd make something of themselves. And by golly, that's exactly what happened. Andrew,
the opportunity there, Paul, for everybody to do it, even today.
Exactly. Andrew,
if they want to get off the rear end.
Right you are, my friend. Well, I tell you what, it's always a pleasure, Andrew, and we will be talking again, God willing, on Friday with you. Thank you so much.
You got it, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. The Master Barber himself. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 best U.S. cities for romance.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. 3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridges all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment here on a beautiful day, Tampa Bay. It's quite lovely out there this morning, I must say. Well, we were talking with the Master Barber about the Donald Trump rally, among other things, and that will be taking place this Saturday in Tulsa. And over 1 million people have applied. But Ed, this indoor arena only seats 19,000 people. I don't think they're all going to be able to get in there. But it certainly makes for a very interesting conversation when over 1 million people want to go. And, I mean, Tulsa, you know, it's not like that's a big state with population. I say that's pretty impressive. Now, here is a story about few cases of getting the virus from being outside in these groups. Coronavirus testing of more than 1,300 people in the Minnesota Twin City area after the death of George Floyd shows few new positive cases. Health officials across the country were worried that these protests over the death of George Floyd could lead to new outbreaks. But apparently those fears have not been borne out in Minneapolis-St. Paul, at least as of yet, based on these early test results. So I would say it bodes well, don't you think, for the Trump rally as well. Now, if they wear their masks, and if it's a 19,000-seat arena, I wonder if everybody will be sitting next to each other or how they're going to do that. I mean, will they have a lot of people standing and trying to separate them that way? It'll be interesting to see how that works out. But I know that Trump's been itching to get back into this whole business of rallying. It's great for his base. And he wants to build up the enthusiasm. So come November, they'll be ready to go. So we'll follow that. We'll see where all of that goes. Okay, Ed, you can wake up. It's time for our top 10. And this is, I think, a pretty good one. Yesterday, we did the top 10 best countries on the happiness index, for whatever that was worth. But now we're going to do the top 10 best cities for romance. And we're going to find out if Ed knows the number one city after, if he will listen to us, he hears the other nine. This comes, by the way, from Movoto, M-O-V-O-T-O.com. So here we go. Number 10. Would you believe it's Seattle? With all the what's going
that's
on there?
Change.
Do you think you go into that six-block area? Is that where you're going to find romance these days? I'm not so sure. But it says, with a super lively online dating scene, ton of places to meet up with, lots of coffee shops and breweries. Okay, number 9. Miami. Hey, that's not far away. Who wouldn't want to hang out in a tropical setting with a spicy nightlife and the ocean all around? So that's why I guess they mentioned Miami, number 9. Number 8. I've asked you this before, Ed, I forget. Have you ever been to Savannah?
No.
Okay, well, Savannah's a great place to go for romance, eclectic scene. Downtown is a party in the street. Got lots of history there, too, by the way. Number seven, the Windy City, Chicago. Nightlife, hopping all over the place, plenty of music, clubs, looking out over the beautiful lake with your special someone as the sun comes up. All right, number six, Las Vegas. Well, you would think so, right? Isn't that the divorce capital of the world, Las Vegas?
Well, people get married there,
I guess they get married. These days, I guess, well, they're trying to open up again, but maybe the marriages are indeed still going on there. All right, number five. New Orleans. That's how they pronounce it. New Orleans, like Savannah, another bigger party in the street. Eclectic locals. Yeah, you've been to New Orleans, right, Ed?
Yes.
Indeed, I have too. Bourbon Street, great place. Number four, Austin, Texas. You know, Austin is really making its move. All of a sudden, it's becoming like the place to live. Austin's got the fifth most singles of any city in the country. And a great music scene, great food and bar, nightlife. Okay, number three, Los Angeles. Now, I can't buy into this one too much. I mean, they got Hollywood, but what does that have to do with romance? They got more divorces going on in Hollywood. Anyway, from the pier at Santa Monica to the Hollywood Hills to everything in between, romance of the movies, I don't think so. Sorry. Number two. Now, this one I buy, New York, because it's got everything. It's got more of everything.
City never sleeps.
It never sleeps. The lights, the energy, the excitement. I mean, you know, unlimited. So it better doggone well appear on this list. All right, Ed. Now, if you've been listening, there is one. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'll give you a big hint. I would say a couple of years ago, it would have been even more of this a romantic place. But because of all the things that have been going on in the past couple of years, you know what I mean? It's not quite as attractive for the romance. But what do you think is, indeed, number one most romantic city?
I was going to go with maybe Denver.
Denver? Yeah. Okay. You know, that's an interesting guess. Roll the drum. You know, you could be skiing with your girlfriend or boyfriend, and then I could just see you. You're in the big wood lodge with a nice fire, and you're having, you know. But you're wrong. Mm. You're wrong. Number one city is San Francisco. Oh, God. Yeah. Have you been there?
No, not anytime soon either.
And you're not going to go anytime soon. I don't blame you now. But so I'm reading this, and I would say a few years ago, yes. It says, how beautiful is San Francisco? Far and away the prettiest city in the country with its hills and architecture and possibly the coolest. People here are up for anything, and that's what romance is all about, spontaneity. Well, it is a beautiful city in many respects. I think it's got to build itself back up again. It's not what it used to be, but it was indeed a place to go. So there you go. That's the top 10. All right, my friends, we thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back again on Friday, 10 a.m. In the meantime, always remember, freedom works.
Is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I want to make her mine. And she's watching him.